This is 91.1 WEDM, and you're listening to the Inside the Huddle podcast.
91.1 WEDM, welcome back to a special segment of Inside the Huddle. I'm Colin Echols, and sitting down with me once again this week is...
Jameson.
How you doing, Jameson?
Pretty good, and you?
I'm not doing too bad, so we're going to continue the discussion of the NFL playoffs. Last week, you know, I made the prediction that the Saints were going to go all the way. Kind of got cheated out of that one. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Well, were we hurt?
And I said we also had the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl. Of course, the Patriots won that one in overtime. You know, Chiefs kind of blew their shot on that one, but that's whatever. So, yeah, let's move into it. Tom Brady, another amazing, amazing comeback game over the rookie Patrick Mahomes, who also had a very impressive game, but just wasn't able to come out on top, I mean, at all. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I feel like there were a couple calls in there that kind of messed them up, but other than that, I think they had a great game.
At this moment, I'm very sad that both of our predictions were wrong. I mean, I really had great hopes for the Saints going all the way, and I feel like it would have been a better game if the refs wouldn't have missed certain key calls that led, I'm not going to say... The missed call was a great lead to the score not favoring the Saints, but it played a role in the change of momentum for the LA Rams to overcome the Saints.
But if you want to think about it too, you want to be real, the Saints were up 17-0 going into halftime. You know, you had a 17-point lead, and you let the Rams come back and win.
Well, I mean, Gurley. CJ Anderson.
True, I'll give you that, but still, you have a 17-point lead. You're the best team, arguably the best team in the NFL. You got Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, all them.
Mike Thomas. But that's another reason why they didn't necessarily have a great game is because Mike Thomas didn't show up. Kamara had a great game. Brees had a great game, but Thomas didn't necessarily show up like how we usually see him showing up. Like the game before it was crazy. The last time the Saints played the Rams, Mike Thomas had one of his best games all season, if not his best game all season. So him, he didn't even necessarily have to match that game, but in a way, he had to, I don't know how to explain it, at least have somewhat as good as a game. And they would have for sure won that game because I don't believe he had any touchdowns. Mm-mm. That game.
No, and it was for the most part, it was a really good game. I mean, yes, the Saints did blow a 17-point lead, but once the Rams got back into it and, you know, picked up the pace and, you know, tied the game up, got down by one or two, ended up winning, it was really close and competitive game. Like you said, Todd Gurley came out, went absolute beast mode like he always does. Thomas, like you said, didn't have a great game, which kind of held the Saints back a little bit, being that he is a key player. But let's move to the other side of the bracket, Chiefs and the Patriots for a little bit. Patrick Mahomes had a great game. They were down, 14-0 going into the third quarter. And they ended up losing, 34? It was 34-28 was the final score. They went into OT at 28. So Patrick Mahomes threw four touchdowns in two quarters.
Didn't the Rams game end in OT too?
Mm-hmm. That one did end in OT. But, you know, Patrick Mahomes hitting everybody. He had Travis Kelce, had a really good game. Couple touchdowns for him.
They would have won that game with Kareem Hunt. That is for sure. Kareem Hunt was projected to be the top running back. He's going to finish top three running backs. And that his season was on track. He was having a great season.
He was. I'll give you that.
Because he was killing the defenders.
But if you want to be real about it, what really hurt the Chiefs was not the offense, it was the defense. Because you watched that overtime drive by the Patriots. The Chiefs would get him to 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, one time 3rd and 12, and then Tom Brady would throw it over the middle to Edelman or Gronk for a 20-yard pickup. They moved down the field in, no time.
I really don't like the overtime system that they have.
Oh, I agree with that.
That
for
one,
sure. 100%.
one and done, one drive. I mean, if you get the kick, then the other team gets the. If they get the field goal, then the other team.
You're talking about the sun. You're talking about the sudden death touchdown rule, though.
But yeah,
the sudden. That is no. I don't like that rule either. I think it should be, you go into overtime,
and you play till the time is out.
Right. Yeah. Like a fifth quarter. Like it really should be. But you know, nonetheless, Chiefs really just blew that game. Honestly, there was one call that I want to talk about. I don't remember who it was, but one of the defensive ends for the Chiefs got in there and was called for a roughing the passer on Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't touch the ground, and basically what happened is the defender came down, tried to slap the ball out of his hands, and hit his shoulder. Now, exact same thing happened to Patrick Mahomes. He had his shoulder hit, and no roughing the passer was called, but the roughing the passer was called on Tom Brady. To you, does that show a sign of favoritism to one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league over a rookie? Because to me, that's kind of what that sounds like.
Yeah, but at this point, we're used to it.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah,
Spygate, Deflategate. They're known for doing crazy things, and it seems like Tom Brady's always playing with the refs. I can't deny his skill. Because I've argued with you before that he is the greatest QB of all time. But it's just a lot of sneaky stuff in the NFL. It seems like whoever the NFL wants to meet up or whoever they want to play, that's who they get to play like.
Right, yeah. No, but for sure, I think that was a little bit of a missed call on both sides. It really shouldn't have been a roughing the passer. Neither of them should have been. But, you know, that's whatever. It's just a bad call. And the Chiefs blew it again. They had the defender lined up in the neutral zone. They got the offsides called on him. And that was an interception, which would have won him the game. But it ended up being the tying touchdown. So we won't talk about that much longer. I want to move into one more thing, Jameson.
All right.
And that is the call on Alvin Kamara, pass interference against the Rams last play.
That wasn't called.
Now, Alvin Kamara did dig up the rule from the NFL rule book. I'm talking about this man went and did research for this and said that the referees and the head of officials back in New York needed to look at this. And basically it is the referee can look at the play again, and if he determines that it was a pass interference, he can change the outcome of the game and send the Saints to the Super Bowl instead of the Rams, or he can make the Saints and the Rams replay the game, thus delaying the Super Bowl. What do you think about that?
Although it would be great, it won't happen.
Right. It is a very slim chance, but even the announcers that were doing the game and the...
Slimmer than slim.
Yeah. The head rule official that was, you know, tuning into the game and checking in every once in a while, even all of them said that it should have been a pass interference, but it's not reviewable as of yet. But Drew Brees released a tweet, I believe, a couple days after the game that there's been a large petition signed for a game-changing play rule to where if there is a play that changes the momentum of the game, which in this case gave the Rams a win, it is reviewable. So, do you think that is a good idea to be implemented into the NFL?
To an extent.
Because if you think about it, it could have gone both ways. You would have had the Chiefs probably going to the Super Bowl and the Saints going to the Super Bowl.
But then I feel like it won't necessarily happen because if they call this one back, people are going to be like, let's call that play from 3 years ago on the 42nd.
The Calvin Johnson catch. Let's call the Calvin Johnson catch back and give him that touchdown.
It's going to be a lot of passes. It's going to be a lot of plays that were miscalled because it seems like they do it constantly. That were miscalls that people are going to say, oh, this is unfair.
Right, yeah.
Just going to give it to Drew Brees. You're going to just hand him the Super Bowl. This was this.
But who do you think wins the MVP still? I still think Drew Brees wins the MVP. MVP. Season? Yeah.
I got Mahomes.
Really? I mean, he does.
Touchdowns, 5,000 yards, your rookie season.
He does have a very good shot to be the NFL regular season MVP, but I still think they give it to Drew Brees just because of all the records that he broke this year. I mean, he did have a phenomenal season.
But
and he
as many
really
as,
the best season,
as Drew Brees probably. Broke.
Patrick Mahomes broke a lot, too.
Broke a lot.
So, you know, we'll wait to see what happens there. Pro Bowl's this weekend. That's going to be really, really good. And then, yeah, I mean, that's all I got. Oh, by the way, someone did a remake, like somehow got the exact score and everything in Madden.
I seen that.
For the Saints and the Rams, and the pass interference was called. So, if that's any reference.
Not at all.
I mean, hey, just something a little funny that I saw, you know, on Instagram this week. But, I mean, that's all I got, Jameson. Who's your prediction now to win the Super Bowl?
It's going to be a cakewalk for the Patriots.
You think?
It's going to be a cakewalk.
I'm picking the Rams.
The Rams shouldn't even have won in the first place.
I'll give you that, but I think the Rams come out and win. I think Todd Gurley runs up the middle and destroys them.
Nah, it's going to be a cakewalk for... No. It's going to be a cakewalk.
Tom Brady is not getting...
I got
what's he on? He's on six rings now?
I got
or five?
Six. This will be his sixth.
Yeah, he's not getting six rings. It's not happening. Yeah. No.
He's going to... They're shutting all of that down. I got Patriots by at least two touchdowns.
I got Rams by a field goal. In OT.
Nah.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
All right. That's all I got, Jameson. You want to throw anything else in?
Have a blessed and beautiful day.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. Make sure you stay tuned in. We got a couple more segments of Inside the Huddle coming up shortly after this. You are listening to Inside the Huddle Podcast on 91.1 WEDM.
91.1 WEDM. This is Inside the Huddle segment. It's me, Isaiah, here with one of the members from the boys swimming team here at Warren Central. We have
Gavin.
And like I said, he's from the swim team. And we're just going to sit down and ask him a couple questions about their season. They're preparing to start their sectional matchup. First off, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
So what is your preparation for swim meets?
Well, we normally have meetings before swim meet, and we just talk about what we're swimming and how we're going to swim it, and just talk as a group.
So is it like any like pregame rituals or pre-meet rituals, I should say?
Not really. We normally just like chill.
Chill.
Yeah.
So what's your motivation for swimming? How long you been doing it?
I've been swimming since my 7th grade year, and my motivation would just be like my friends joining and saying that like it's fun. So I just decided to swim just to give it a try, and I decided that I wanted to keep doing it.
Did you have a swim team at your middle school?
Or yeah.
What middle school was it?
Raymond Park.
Okay. I can relate. We both went to Raymond Park. So starting your career off, what was one of the like biggest purposes for you to start swimming?
Well, I was like in a hard place in my life, so swimming kind of just got my mind off of things. So it just gave me an excuse to be out of the house and be more focused.
Yeah. So what's running through your mind when you're on the block getting ready to dive into the water?
Just swim. Like, I don't want to think about too much stuff, because if you do, then you start getting stressed out and then you just don't swim to the best of your ability.
How do you feel like the staff here at Warren Central, weights and stuff, has helped you with your swimming?
They're really supportive, and they get me what I need whenever I need it.
Can you walk me through like one of the workouts you do like all the time? One of your favorite workouts?
After school, we go to the weight room and do like back squats and abs. And abs are great because you need to like get your core together when you're swimming so your body doesn't drop. So we do like Russian twists and planks, and it's really nice.
Is there a professional swimmer you look up to or try to model your swim style after?
Yeah, like the one that everybody looks after, Michael Phelps.
So is it like a pregame meal that you have, like a pregame snack that you carry with you all the time?
I carry Nutri-Grain bars.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, that's
in a way. Like, what do you listen to get you hyped before the meets?
I just listen to like chill music and like get in my zone. Don't focus on anything else.
No certain artist, no certain song.
Probably Khaled.
Khaled.
Yeah.
I feel you. And then what's your arrangement for sectionals? You know, I got sectionals coming up. You guys looking to try to advance to state or onto regionals or, you know, further on in the tournament. So what's your arrangement for that? Like, what's your setup?
Well, we normally taper, which is like we just chill do easy practices, but our coach is crazy. So we pretty much train just as much as we did before that, if not harder. So we just like, yeah.
I know you guys train pretty hard during the off season. So what was that like waking up early mornings to come in and swim and then staying late in the afternoons to, you know, swim again?
Well, to be completely honest, it's awful, but in the long run, it helps everything. Waking up at 5, going to practice, cold pool, really wakes you up. But
so who do you feel like your biggest fan is when it comes to supporting you?
My parents. They're just with me every step of the way.
Is there any personal achievements that you have achieved during your swimming time here at Warren Central?
Yeah, in my 200, I went under 2 minutes, and I went under 6 minutes in my 500, and I got onto the, like, a really good relay team, which is probably going to go to state this year. So, yeah, that's a pretty cool.
So do you do, like, any outside swimming for, like, different clubs or anything?
Yeah, I'm in the Warren Aquatic Club, which is pretty much just year-round, so I'm always swimming.
Okay. So do you, like, dive too also, or you just swim? What's the difference for you between diving and swimming?
Swimming is more of a, a physically demanding sport, and diving's a, like, don't get me wrong, it's physically demanding, but it's mentally challenging too, because you have to, like, want to do everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and swimming, you just show up, train, and, yeah.
So is there any, like, plans for you after, you know, swimming here in high school?
Well, I want to get a scholarship because, you know, I think I'm good enough, but I don't think other schools think I am. But I want to get a scholarship and swim in college, even if I have to swim at, like, a D3 level.
I mean, from hearing your talk, I feel like you could swim good at, like, probably IUPUI or somewhere.
Yeah.
And is there any goal for getting to the Olympics, or you haven't thought that far ahead yet?
That's, like, one of my, like, major goals in life. Is just to swim in the Olympics just, like, once, even if I don't do good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thank Gavin for coming in.
Thank you.
And make sure you guys tune in a couple weeks. They'll be taking on their sectional matchup. We'll keep you guys tuned, but make sure you guys stay here for another episode of Inside the Huddle.
91.1 WEDM, and it's your boy, T-Row, for better known as Mr. Rock the Mic. And this week's on Inside the Huddle topic, I have girls track, and I will be interviewing Denia Roberson. To get the key insides on the 4x1 team, the 200s, and all sorts of exciting stuff. So stay tuned right here on 91.1 WEDM on this podcast. So now we can jump straight into the questions. So when preparing for a meet, what's the thing that runs through your mind the most?
The thing that runs through my mind the most is probably winning, because I honestly just love to win and I hate to lose. So basically, as warming up and getting everything together, all I'm thinking about is what's going to go through my mind when I'm crossing the finish line.
So, like, how does it feel like setting up in the blocks?
It feels like it's a lot of pressure, because as you watch all the other girls set up their blocks, you just feel like you don't want to make that wrong mistake, and everything's on a time crunch. So you're basically just trying to hurry up and get it together and get you a good start.
Now, track is known for its, like, very strong conditioning. Tell us, like, the conditioning that the girls go through, because a lot of people think the girls track is easy because they're not as athletic as the boys.
The girls track conditioning ain't easy. We work hard, we play hard, practice hard, we do all of that. The conditioning usually runs from like 3 to 4:30. Not long, but in that short time span, it is hard. We do lift, we do abs, like 300 worth of abs. We do planks, we do a lot of running. And it's all a mental thing. If you can't get through one workout, it's just not for you.
Not like what's all in the workout? Go detailed into the workout.
We do laps. Like, today our workout's probably going to be 4 to 5 laps. 60s, 60 meters is straight. 30 meters, which is probably like half of a 60. And we'll probably do abs, a cool down. Or on some days we might just even have 4 200s. Some 60s and some baton handoffs.
So, like, every athlete has a motive. What's your motive?
My motive, that is a good question. My motive would probably be success in a ring. because I hate feeling like I failed. I've never failed anything I've ever done. So honestly, I just want my ring. I'm a junior now. It's time to start racking up rings.
That actually ties into my next question. What was your personal goals and like team goals overall achievements?
My personal goals was to at least run in state this year because my knee injury stopped me from last year. And I also wanted to have my ring. My team goal is for us not to get beat by HSE again because that was so disappointing. We haven't lost to HSE in a while. And I want us to be a better team. And like personally, I want us to all be cool together and not just have cliques.
So tell us how long you've been. What got you into track, first of all?
I started running track about seventh grade. I was a hefty girl, so at first I was doing basketball. And with me being fat, I just never thought that running would be for me. But once I got skinny, everybody told me, you fast, you should do it. And I was like, I'm going to go. And then I liked it. I liked the adrenaline rush it gave me, so I've just been doing it since then.
So do you know when the first indoor meet is?
The first indoor meet is actually Friday at UIndy. I don't know who we're going against, but it is Friday at, I think, like 5 or 6.
So you're prepared, I see.
Very. Sure.
So before, who's in headphones?
All of us, really. If we're not in headphones, we're probably asleep. But I'm normally in the headphones because I honestly don't like to hear too much conversation. When I'm in game mode, track meet mode. Whatever you want to call it, I'm in the mode. But mainly everybody's sleep or eating because that's really what we like to do.
Well, I mean, who's in the mode? Like, who's the go-to artist to get you pumped?
Youngboy. His stuff is hard. Either Youngboy, Lil Fo, Herbo, anybody with a high upbeat or this is hard, period, I got to listen to him.
Period. Tell him. Period. So, like, what is your meal?
My pregame meal is probably the extreme cheddar goldfish, pineapples and grapes, a cool blue Gatorade, because blue Gatorade is the best. And that's really about it. I don't try to eat too heavy because the heavier you eat, I feel like the heavier you are, and your running won't be as good. So, it's probably very light.
So, like, when you have a track meet on that day, like, what are your rituals?
My rituals are, you want me to start from morning to...
That takes the day because some people have some very weird superstitions, and we would like to know that.
Okay, so in the morning, I get up, and I do a stretch. I do, like, 5 push-ups, and then I'll do some butterfly stretches and just get my body ready. Then go get in the shower, brush my teeth. And I listen to my music, play some G Herbo or LMA at the time. And then I put on my outfit, get ready. Then I'll go in my mama's room, tell her I love her, get out the door. Then the whole school day, I'm probably just trying to get my sleep in, doing my work, getting ready. Then when it's time for practice or going to a meet, I sit down, I get to thinking about what my goals are for this meet. And I get to write them down. And after or during the meet, if I complete my goal, I'll check it off and I'll eat another piece of fruit just to let me know I've done what I had to do. When the meet's all over, I'm tired, get out of there, go home, get in the shower, and eat a 10-piece chicken nugget meal from McDonald's.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of our podcast, Inside the Huddle. You can find more episodes on iTunes or on our website, WEDMFM.com.